This episode is brought to you by BetterHelp. How's your social battery doing right now? I've never used that phrase, but I instantly know what it means. And I think it's interesting because it works two different ways. Some people need to have their social battery charged, and they this is the introvert extrovert thing. And some people, you know, like they've got enough energy for other people, but then it's time to sort of step away. And, you know, as we get to this part where winter is ending, which again, it's opposite. I love winter. I don't need it to end. You know, you start getting together with more people and it can be a little draining on top of every other thing that we all have going on in our lives. I just assume everybody's overburdened because I think everybody's overburdened, but it can be tough to deal with. And also one of the things is like, you can't necessarily understand why you feel that way or why it's making you tired, but it's a real thing. If you think that you could use some help with it, if you could figure out a way to make things better, therapy is a great way to help. It can give you that kind of self-awareness to know how to ride that level just right so that you feel good, you feel right. If you're thinking of starting therapy, you can give BetterHelp a try. It is entirely online. It is designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule, which is, again, we've been talking about being busy, right? You got to fit that in. You got a lunch period. You can do it during that time, whichever. That's possible. You fill out a brief questionnaire and get matched with a licensed therapist. You can switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. I like that. There is no penalty for finding the person who is right for you. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/iFanboy today. Get 10% off of your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/iFanboy.
This is iFanboy Special Edition, The Tick. Welcome to iFanboy Special Edition, The Tick. My name is Connor Kilpatrick, and I'm here with Ron Richards.
Hello, Connor.
And Ryan Haupt.
Spoon!
We took the Animation Brain Trust and merged it with the Netflix Brain Trust to create the Amazon Brain Trust.
Oh, there's a thing now. Now we got an Amazon Brain Trust.
Tick was animated at one point, so I feel qualified.
Should we acknowledge the fact that Josh is sitting in the room silently watching us?
I try to acknowledge that whenever it happens, which is more often than you would think.
So Josh has not seen The Tick, right, Josh?
No.
Okay, so he's just going to play along.
I've never seen any Tick.
Okay. Well, we'll get to that. Hold on. You're jumping the gun.
I'm not an active participant.
Josh has already derailed the show 2 minutes in. So The Tick is a 6-episode series on Amazon, and it is the second, if you can believe it, the second live-action Tick series.
The third TV series in all, because there was the cartoon.
Yes, there was also a cartoon. The last series starring Patrick Warburton as The Tick. This one, however, features Peter Serafinowicz as The Tick and Griffin Newman as Arthur.
And Jackie Earle Haley as The Terror.
Right. So before we get into talking about a quick spoiler warning, if you haven't seen the show, there'll be spoilers, obviously. So pause the show, come back. Before we get into this series, guys, what is your history with The Tick as a IP?
Ryan, why don't you tell us your history of The Tick?
Ryan, you're a child.
I remember that it existed.
Okay, so the TV series was 2001.
The animated one?
The live-action one with Patrick Warburton, that was 2001. And it didn't last that long. It did 9 episodes.
Yeah.
Which are also on Amazon streaming. I considered watching a few of them, but I didn't.
Interesting enough, note about that series, executive produced by Larry Charles of Seinfeld.
Here's the thing about The Tick. Sense. I mean, I think we need to take a step back, and everyone needs to, acknowledge as if I'm angry or something like that. But The Tick is a character that has been around comics since the 80s.
86.
It was originally the mascot of the chain of comic stores, New England Comics. Yeah. And then from that, it got its own comics, all independent comics. Always. They were, you know, it wasn't a big two comic, you know, kind of thing or whatever. And for some reason, it is just beloved by people.
I don't know any of those people.
Ironically, and you're in New England, which is funny. But it came out in that mid 80s black and white boom. Right. You know, like, so I always put The Tick in the same category, not in content or in theme, but the same category as
Ninja Turtles,
Cerebus, Ninja Turtles, you know, Mage, mm-hmm. like a lot of the Comico, like those 80s stuff for some reason. But then the cartoon happened on the Fox network and it was like a kid's show. And then the Patrick Warburton thing happened, which was just weird. And then this happened, which I find even weirder. Like, I don't like, I want to know who has it, who loves the tick so much they keep developing it. That's what I want.
Well, first, here's the timeline. So 86, the character was created as the mascot. 88 was when the comic came out. So he's that late 80s period. Yep. 94 was the cartoon. 2001 was the Patrick Warburton version. And 2017, I guess, is the current one. So you're right. I mean, it is a fairly consistent rhythm to this. I mean, it's every so often, every 6 to 10 years, you get a new tick version.
Yeah.
I don't know, Ron.
I don't know.
Other than the fact that it's a comedic take on superheroes. So when superheroes are popular, it is a relatively cheap way to do a sort of sitcom with the allure of superhero cartoons and comics on it.
Right. Yeah. Because the thing about the tick is that it's a little more on the ridiculous side and the humorous side, you know, like it's always poked fun at superheroes and with superhero registrations and things like that. So, you know, it's already got a base of satire within it.
Yeah. Tongue so, firmly planted in cheek.
Yes.
So Ryan didn't watch the cartoon in 94.
I caught some of it, but it wasn't, it didn't look.
Ron, well, did you watch the cartoon? Thing.
I've seen it. I couldn't tell you an episode or like I didn't follow it. Let's just
it was around the same time that the X-Men animated show was happening, right?
It was, yeah. It was during that big, it was that 1994, 1995 Fox Kids.
Batman, yeah. Tick.
Batman, X-Men, The Tick.
Josh, weird. Did you watch The Tick?
No.
Okay.
Okay, back around again for the Patrick Warburton version. I remember seeing a couple of episodes of it, but not being like a guy who watched it or could tell you anything about it.
Never watched an episode of it.
I'm guessing this is just going to be consistent across the board.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, also, you don't have to go through each person's story to be like, nope, not me. What about you? Nope.
What's really funny about the 2001 one is that, so it came out in November. It came out in November 2001.
The 2001 tick. There's a obelisk. There's a.
But the but coming out in November 8, 2001, not a great time for lighthearted television, right? It was, you know, but the first episode was directed by Barry Sonnenfeld. Which
well,
is,
yeah, he's executive producer.
Right.
Yeah, he did. So he did
he's the guy.
Yeah.
You just maybe. Wondered who keeps bringing it back, and it's Sonnenfeld going, I know I can make this work.
Well, no, because this one was mainly done.
Sonnenfeld, I think, did he do the first one?
Sonnenfeld did the first episode of 2001. Wally Pfister did the first two episodes of, of this one. Yeah. But what I find amazing is that Ben Edlund, the creator of The Tick, wrote the first two episodes of this Amazon one. Like, he's been involved. He wrote the first episode of the 2001 one. Like, the creator is still involved very closely with it. I think that's amazing. Like, good job on him.
Well, he's been working as a TV writer. I mean, he writes on Gotham. I think he's a producer on Gotham
Supernatural. Two episodes of Firefly.
Yeah, I mean, he's been working regularly. Clone Wars,
Gotham,
Angel. I mean,
yeah, good job. Good job, Ben Edlund.
So well, isn't Wally Pfister the director of photography for all the Nolan Batman films?
Oh, look at Ryan dropping some knowledge.
Right. I mean, I don't have a degree in communications, but
did you ask that question and not know the answer?
He is correct. He was the cinematographer for Memento, Insomnia.
Yeah, he's been with Nolan for a while. Yeah. Recently struck out to direct things himself. And so I thought that was kind of interesting that like the guy who worked with Nolan closely on the Batman films now is directing a satire of, I mean, this felt more like a Watchmen than a Batman satire, but
yeah,
it's still an interesting.
So are we talking about everything but the show to avoid talking about the show?
No, I think we're situating the listener. We're giving background. Context. I'm ready to talk about the show. I started off like, okay, so to give additional background, the iFan base, many of you out there have tweeted at us, emailed us. Many of you wanted this show. Connor, we were not planning on doing this show.
No plans. I have no history with the tick. I have no affiliation for the tick.
But the thing was, per our loose rule, it is comics related, and that's what we do, right? That's our mandate. That's our platform.
It is what you're about.
It's what we're about.
It's what we stand for. It's what we stand for. It's who we are. Right. So enough of you asked for it. And so I said, Connor, I'm like, you want to do the tick? And Connor's like, I don't know. Then one day Connor's like, I'm watching the first episode of the tick. I'm like, all right, it's on. And I went into this watching it like very reluctant. And by the sixth episode, I found myself enamored with it and really enjoyed it.
Okay. I liked it better as it went along, Ryan.
I liked it at first, dipped a little, but then liked it by the end.
Yeah. I feel like two observations about this. It's really about Arthur.
Mm-hmm. Well, this is what I was hoping somebody watched the other ones, because Arthur's the main character in this version of it. And I thought the most interesting part to me was the very beginning, the first episode or two, in which we weren't even quite sure the tick was real.
Right.
Or if he was a figment of Arthur's imagination.
Yeah.
And then when that went away so soon, I thought that was not a mistake, but I was kind of bummed because I liked that aspect of it.
So here's the arc that I had with it was, yeah, I agree with you. Like the first two or three episodes, I think it was two.
It didn't last that
long. Because
once his sister met him, that was the first time somebody else acknowledged.
Right, yeah, you weren't sure if he existed. You weren't sure if he was real. But then in episodes 3 and 4, you got a little more background on the tick, that he didn't have any memory. He didn't know who he was, where he's from. He didn't have a home. And then I found myself by the fourth or fifth episode, like emotionally being attached to the character and like caring about him. Like, oh, let's just let him in, like help the tick. Like he needed help. Right. And so I was surprised at the amount of investment I had in the tick around his mystery by like the fourth or fifth episode.
That's so interesting.
Amazon had a making of and a bonus behind the scenes. And I thought, oh, okay, maybe I can dig in a little bit here. It was 2 minutes long and most of it was just clips from the show. So not super helpful, Amazon. Thank you. But the creator, Ben Elman, did say that this is the first time that a series has focused on Arthur as the main character. Yeah. But in doing a little bit more research, I think the tick not really knowing who he is or having memory of his past is consistent with the character.
Yeah, they've done that through the comics. Like the tick never knows where he's from, and they have different origins for him. I went and looked that up because I was like,
just like the Joker.
Yeah, yeah. But I went and looked that up because I'm like, is this how it was in the other ones? And sure enough, it was.
So I'll disagree with you slightly. I just have a different take on it. I thought the tick was the least interesting character on the show.
I don't disagree with you, but I ended up really liking him.
And I really like Peter Serafinowicz.
I love Serafinowicz.
I think he's really kind of dull as the tick.
Yeah.
I love Patrick Warburton, so it's hard to get that memory out of my head of that particular version of a tick. I thought he was a complete blank slate until the very end, in which the tick had no discernible. He wasn't doing any kind of discernible take on the tick as a character, other than he seemed to be doing kind of an Adam West voice.
Well, my comment too.
Yep, same thing. He was calling Arthur chum, and he was doing the overly righteous superhero.
No, but not even that. He was literally doing, I think, an Adam West impersonation for.
I think you're right.
But he just didn't have any kind of discernible personality, and. So for a while I was like, well, every time the tick's on, I don't really care. It's the other characters. I liked the Lint character a lot. The bad guy.
He was great. Yep.
I really loved her ex-husband. I love the fact they lived together. I love the fact that he was a man bun dude, bro kind of guy. And,
yeah, I know. I love that every time she was in their apartment, it was either 311 or Sublime was playing. And I was like, I know exactly who this guy is.
At one point,
I need to know.
At one point he had a t-shirt that said kombucha.
I loved everything about that.
He also had a t-shirt of, he had one of the "This is what a feminist looks like" t-shirt.
Yeah. I will say that there was a lot. I laughed out loud a bunch of times in all these episodes.
at least each episode had a really good laugh out loud line,
and a lot of those moments were not related to the story or the action, but more related to like a deep reference word. Like they did a lot of wordplay. Like the script is really snappy, but at one point, so they team up, Arthur and the tick team up with Overkill, who is like a Punisher, like, you know, villain, and they capture the bad guy and they're trying to get information out of him, and Overkill gives him an injection, and Arthur says, what did you just give him? And he goes, I gave him sodium amberthesin. Right. And I just laughed, and like it happened so fast. And then later on, I think in the last episode, when the tick is eating the rice dish at the bodega, and he says, Arthur, Arthur, do you want some Tupac Latifah? Like, just like.
Well, but I loved the earlier version where the older woman tells him how to pronounce it, and he just laughs at her foreign word, and he goes, let's just call it rice.
Like, there was a lot of witty wordplay and stuff like that got me.
Fenestrated feline.
Yeah.
So I think Ryan is correct. It's maybe it's because Jackie Earle Haley's in it, but it is kind of a Watchmen-y mystery in that it's all about this character called the Terror, who was like the main bad guy, the main supervillain who killed Arthur's parents when he was younger, or his father. And he's thought to have been killed. And the whole question for the entire series is he actually alive, running things behind the scenes or not? And that's revealed at the end.
And he was great. I thought he was, as that villain, I thought he was great. From the flashback of when we see Arthur, I mean, so Arthur's origin story is that his favorite superheroes crashed and died. And while they did that, they crash landed on his dad. And so not only did he see his favorite heroes get killed by the villain, but they killed his dad.
There was also like a weird Christian version of the Fantastic Four.
Yes.
Not weird because they were Christian, just weird because it was like a weird mix of powers and names. And
But Jackie Earle Haley, I thought, was great as the Terror. And I thought they played that really well. They played the idea of, is he alive in Arthur's memories, or is he actually? So the whole premise of the episode is Arthur has got a crazy wall and is trying to prove that the Terror is really alive, and everybody thinks he's obsessed and from, you know, the trauma of losing his father from the Terror. But turns out he's right. And then he gets his hands on the moth suit, and it's kind of his, you know, his date with destiny to become a hero, and the tick is kind of cheering him on.
It's a collect call with destiny, Ron.
Well, that's why I thought perhaps they would play longer with the idea of the tick being a figment of his imagination, because that plays into his obsession. You know, was he conjuring the tick as a way to deal with his obsession with the Terror? But that didn't really last too long.
That was probably the right direction to go in. Like the first two episodes, you really didn't know. They played that up really strongly.
Yeah. And then, of course, in the background, there's also another character. So the first superhero character who is
Superion,
who so had a tear in his costume in the last episode.
So they did the whole Tunguska thing, which is a thing comic writers and I guess TV writers love doing with the 1908 Siberian connection. And the thing that killed me, and I know this is something that comes up, but as a geologist or a scientist, the weird alien thing that they have like floating down out of the sky, that's just bismuth. If you just look up the mineral bismuth, B-I-S-M-U-T-H, that's just what they animated and had explode. It's not an alien thing. It happens right here on Earth.
All right.
And
there you go. Science buzzkill.
Pepto-Bismol.
It's in Pepto-Bismol, correct.
I know.
Well, so they're setting him up, I guess, as a second season villain,
Dr. Manhattan type.
Because the whole premise of the moth suit is it was designed to fight off aliens or the big reveal was that it was meant for alien to fight aliens, and he's the only alien that we know of, at least.
Nice. Which almost makes the Terror an Ozymandias type.
The Watchmen parallels, aside from the fact that Jackie Earle Haley is the actor in common, are quite staggering, actually. It is very laying the groundwork for a Watchmen-like story.
But, I mean, you yourself, Ron, were saying, like, the first comics came out in 1986. I don't know how closely these hew to the comics, but it wouldn't surprise me.
88. In a post-Watchmen world, right? Yeah. So
it wouldn't surprise me if they were hewing to that. I mean, you got the whole 28th Amendment thing, which I don't remember the name of the law in the Watchmen that prevents superheroes from operating, but you had sort of a similar like legal governmental framework behind things. There's more than a passing resemblance.
I did like that joke where they couldn't force him to reveal his identity because it was a constitutional amendment protecting superheroes from revealing their identities, and that the bureaucracy was so labyrinthian that he could just fake it.
Yeah.
They were just
We did get the classic, what is your identification number? And he's like, 1, 9, 11? I don't know. I mean, I started off not really wanting to watch it. I started off kind of eye-roll-y, and I'm like, well, Sarah Finowitz is in it, and that'll be amusing. And by the end of it, I mean, we enjoyed watching it, and then like, and I'm like, ooh, when are we going to get more?
Are we going to get more?
Yeah. So
if Amazon's algorithm says so, we'll get more.
True. Well, supposedly they ordered 12 episodes total.
Okay.
This is the first five. So, you know, hopefully.
Because it kind of, I mean, not to spoil, I mean, I guess spoiler warning. Did we give a spoiler warning?
Yeah, we did. Yeah.
Okay. It ends on a cliffhanger, which did annoy me.
Oh, I like that.
All right.
Well, I mean,
I don't mind it.
That's how it works. Yeah. That's how they get you to watch season 2.
So, all right. So ratings.
See, the best part about doing it this way is I can see Ryan roll his eyes at me, which previously I couldn't see before. Ratings, I'm going to give it a 3.5.
All right, Ryan, on a scale of 1 to 5.
I was thinking in terms of grades. I was going to give it a letter grade. Okay, hang on.
Does the animation brain trust use letter grades?
We don't grade things.
We don't grade things.
We slot them into the ranking of all previously animated things.
I also don't listen to those shows.
that hurts. Let's be deep, Ron.
There's only so much. I give this a 4.
So 4, 3.5, and 3.25?
Yes. Yeah. Sticking with it.
Yes.
I will... Yeah, I mean, I'll keep my eye out for it.
Yeah, I mean, I will actively, like, when it comes out, watch it immediately. I want to thank the iFan base for making me watch it. I enjoyed it. That was fun.
Footnotes. I have a question.
Okay.
Do we know why they changed the costume after the pilot? Other than the costume and the pilot looks stupid?
My guess is that there was a gap in the production.
Right.
Because I know that Amazon, they shoot the pilot and then they release the pilot and then people vote on it. Then they shoot the whole series. So my guess is that, and then the pilot came out a year ago now. So my guess is that time passed. That's probably why.
I really like Danger Boat.
Danger Boat was great. Danger Boat was voiced by Alan Tudyk.
Oh, was it really? Man, yeah. He's just your go-to sassy AI sidekick now, isn't he?
Exactly. Or Chicken in Moana.
I like when the Danger Boat called him out on being Travis Bickle. That was hilarious.
Danger Boat was actually one of the highlights. We didn't even touch on that. Danger Boat.
That's why I'm trying to bring it up.
Yeah, that was very, very good. Fun fact or footnote, they filmed the majority of this show in my neighborhood.
Is it supposed to be set in New York, or is it supposed to be set in one of those nameless?
No, it's in the comics and the other shows, it's always been the city.
Yeah, it's nameless.
I think they're sticking with that. But there were several. I mean, they clearly shot in New York, but there were several scenes where we were watching it. We're like, "Yep, that's right down the road."
Also, the roller derby girls were wearing the roller derby jersey for New York City.
Right. Yeah. So
the Gotham girls.
But then there were other references to the city. Like, there were places that aren't places in New York. So I think that they needed a spot. So they just made up a location. But majority of it was shot on the Queen side of the river, not on Manhattan. So
I really loved it when the Terror was telling Ms. Lint what he'd been up to, and his quick addendum, which they teased in earlier episodes. There'd been earlier episodes with news reports about all the bees dying, and he just went as an addendum, "Oh yeah, I'd be killing the bees."
they did plant a lot of like jokes and refer. And also there was the very large man never got resolved.
That's a good point.
Yeah, so clearly it's going to come back for a season 2 or more of this. So yeah.
Well, not clearly. I mean, they have to get the viewers, but they're planting a lot for the second season. So hopefully, yeah, they come back.
Can we also
watch The Tick and you have thoughts? Stop adding thoughts.
I have one more. I would like to retire any version of Where Is My Mind to tag a possible imaginary friend in your life. This is the time it's happened in popular culture. It's played out. It's over. Pick a new song. The end.
I can get behind that.
All right.
All right, Connor, take us out.
Any more PSs, Ryan?
No, thanks.
If you want to talk about The Tick or you watch The Tick, you have any thoughts, you can go to ifanboy.com. There'll be a post for this show. You can tell us what you thought of The Tick. A lot of you have been asking for it, so hopefully some of you will tell us. And then we'll be back with our next special edition show. Well, Ryan and I will be talking with Paul about Batman and Harley Quinn this very week. And then in 2 weeks, I believe, guys, is Thor Ragnarok, if I'm not mistaken.
In 2 weeks?
2 weeks?
I believe it's in 3 weeks.
No. That's in November. I believe
it's the first week of November.
First week of October.
November.
November. Oh, God, you almost gave me a heart attack.
There's something in 2 weeks, but I'm not in front of my calendar, so I don't know.
Oh, no, Kingsman. Kingsman's in 2 weeks.
Kingsman's in 2 weeks. That's what I'm thinking of. Kingsman.
That's what it is.
So. Kingsman 2. Your Electric Boogaloo. All right, so until then, I'm Connor.
I'm Ron.
And I'm Ryan.
And that was Josh.
My mic's been on mute the whole time.